lesson this morning is taken from 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 22 through 30 and 41 through 43. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands to heaven. He said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their heart. The covenant that you kept for your servant, my father David, as you declared to him, you promised with your mouth and have this day fulfilled with your hand. Therefore, O God, O Lord, God of Israel, keep your servant, my father David, that which you promised him, saying, there shall never fail you a successor before me to sit on the throne of Israel. If only your children look to their way to walk before me as you have walked before me. Therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed, which you promised to your servant, my father David. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. Regard your servant's prayer and his plea. O Lord, my God, heeding the cry and the prayer that your servant prays to you today, that your eyes may be open night and day toward this house, the place of which you said, my name shall be there, that you may heed the prayer that your servant prays toward this place. Hear the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. O hear in heaven your dwelling place. Give heed and forgive. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a distant land because of your name, for they shall hear of your great name, your mighty arm, and your outstretched arm. When a foreigner comes and prays toward this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all that the foreigner calls to you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and so that they may know that your name has been evoked on this house that I have built. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. What were you expecting as you came toward this house this morning? Were you expecting to come into the companionship of friends, church members, family? Were you expecting to have a moment to recenter your life, perhaps? Were you expecting to encounter God? Our expectations as we come to this house can be very high, or they can be very neutral. Our expectations can be drowned out by all the demands of life and getting places on time and organizing and planning and thinking about everything else. But hopefully you had expectations as you entered the house of God, this place that God has chosen as a dwelling place for God's name, just as God chose Solomon's temple as a dwelling place of God's name. The verse 29 of that chapter 8 of 1 Kings talks about that expectation. Solomon saying, Lord, I want you to have a special input. I want you to have a special place in this temple. I want you to realize and to show us that you view this as a very sacred place. He says that your eyes may be open night and day toward this house, the place of which you said, my name shall be there, and that you may heed the prayer that your servant prays toward this place, that God will hear the prayers of God's people, whether we are in the house of God or just thinking of the house of God, that when we come toward this place, that we're coming toward God, the presence of God, the Spirit of God, which abides with us through the promise of Scripture. When we are gathered here, God is here with us. What is our expectation? I really only knew my grandmother Baker all my other grandparents. Some of them died before I was born. Others died when I was really too young to know them. But I knew my grandmother Baker. She died after I was married, so I knew her for a long time. And I always, always loved going to her house. Always loved going there. Always loved being around her. She was just a marvelous person, a wonderful person. And in adulthood, I was thinking, why was it that I never dreaded going to her house? And we would help her with yard work and all kind of stuff. She was always working in flowers, beds, and all this sort of stuff. It was always something to do like that. It wasn't like fun activities and things like that. But it was always neat to go to her house. And in adulthood, I realized one thing about her that I don't think I realized when I was growing up, and that was that my grandmother never criticized me. She never corrected me. And I thought about it, she had 5 grandchildren, and we were around her a lot. She never critiqued us. She never criticized us. She never corrected us. Now, you know, some people say that's because we were just great kids and we didn't need critiquing or criticizing or anything else. But my parents would have disagreed with that very much. Maybe my grandmother knew our parents were handling all that sort of stuff, but she never did. And I don't know how she did that. My grandchildren will never be able to say that about me. Sorry, that ship's already sailed. So my grandchildren could never say that about me, but I can say it about her. And therefore, when I went there, I knew that I was going in a place where I would be welcomed and accepted for just the person I was, just the person I am. And she loved me without question and just loved everything about me and my other relatives, the children. And that made all the difference. I think when we come into the house of the Lord, maybe we're expecting a God who's looking at us, looking down upon us and saying, straighten up. Perhaps our expectation should be that God is saying, welcome. I love you just as you are. I know that you're a child of mine, and I know that I can make you into greater things, and I'm going to show you just how precious you are in my sight when you come into the house. The world might be full of critics, but here God says, let me show you my unconditional love. Let me show you the way in which you can live so that you might have that abundant life as well. God's gentleness, God's guidance, the power of the Holy Spirit speaking within us so that we can accomplish all things. Do you expect that as we come into the house of the Lord? As you come toward this house, are you expecting that warm embrace of God's love, care, concern, God giving us the strength to continue on, the joy of being in the presence of the Lord? I think maybe one very important factor as we come toward this house is to truly understand the presence of God and how powerful that is in our lives, that this place is a place where others for generations have indeed encountered the presence of God in a very real and a very wonderful way. One day in the afternoon, sort of later in the afternoon, I was at my office in Lancaster. I was at First United Methodist Church, downtown Lancaster. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I heard sort of like a loud crash. And I thought, ooh, there was a very busy intersection right where the church was. And I thought, somebody just had a wreck. So I got up and I went out, and I went out the front sanctuary doors, and it was rather amazing. There was this rather large SUV, big black SUV. And the front of the church had these giant pillars, giant concrete pillars that went up. And there were like 4 of them across the front. They were at least 2 stories, 3 stories high. And the SUV had come off the street, gone up about 6 steps, or very wide steps, had gone up 6 steps, had hit the column, and had gone up the column. And I was watching it from this side, and I was thinking, is the column going to fall? What's going on? And then slowly the SUV just slid back down and landed on the steps. And the door opened, and this lady got out, and she was going for work, and she was in business attire. And she got out, and she said, I can't believe just what just happened. I said, I can't believe it either. She said, I was just driving along. All of a sudden, I had to swerve, and all of a sudden, I was going up in the air. And she said, I couldn't figure out what was happening. And then I realized I'd hit your column. And then she said, I didn't know what was going to happen, if things were going to start falling on me and all. And she said, then just ever so gently, I went down and just came to a rest on the steps. And we both turned and looked at the column. There was not a scratch on the column. You couldn't even tell that anything had even hit it. There was really nothing wrong with her car. I guess it caught right underneath the bumper or something. And we were looking at that. And I said, I guess you just back up off our steps and you can be on your way. Of course, the police arrived about that time, so she had to answer a few questions. But there was nothing. And she said, I think God put that column there just for me. I think it saved my life. If I'd hit another car, I'd probably be killed or something. And she said, but there it was. And it was like God just took care of me. I thought, what a marvelous image of God's church. God's church being there to save a life. God's church being there to make a difference. The presence of God is dynamic. The presence of God is not something that just sits there. The presence of God makes a difference in our world. When we encounter the presence of God, things happen. Then I believe that as we come to this house, but I hope that you have the expectation of being heard by others, your fellow believers, the body of Christ, your church family. I hope that you have the expectation of being heard, but also hope that you have the expectation of being heard by God. Solomon is very specific in this chapter, talking about, Lord, when it hasn't been raining and your people gather and they pray here in the temple for rain, make sure that you send the rain. When there's a famine and your people gather toward this house, make sure that you send the food and things like that. And then he says, the part that I read, if a foreigner comes because they've heard about you and they pray, make sure you make that happen so that the name of the Lord is proclaimed in foreign lands as well. Solomon's very specific about that, but I believe that as we come toward this house, as we think about this house, this place that is the dwelling place of God's name, that we should come with the expectation of being heard by God. There's a marvelous section of Daniel chapter 9. And Daniel was praying about something very serious, something that really is a big weight on him. And as he's praying, Gabriel appears to him. And Gabriel says, and I love how it says this, Gabriel says, when you started praying, the word, the answer came, and I was dispatched to bring you the answer to your prayer. He doesn't say, after you prayed, we thought about it, we had a group meeting, we had a committee meeting, we decided what we're going to do. He says, when you started praying, God sent me with the answer. What a marvelous image. Even as we begin to pray, God is dispatching the answer to us. When you come toward this house, do you come with the expectation of being heard by the one who is creator, redeemer, sustainer in all things? And then also, do you come toward this house expecting the unexpected, that which could happen, that which might happen, that which should happen, that which will happen when you come into the house of the Lord? As you come toward this house, are you coming with the expectation of something happening, something that is not the norm, not the ordinary, not the boring, but us encountering God, God making a difference in our lives as we're involved in ministry, as we're involved in reaching out to others? Are we expecting the unexpected to happen even at those times, even at those moments? My brother and his wife had sort of a large Sunday school class at their church. They had a Sunday school party, and they made lots of hot dogs. And then they realized that had made too many hot dogs, and so they had all these hot dogs left over. And so then my brother said, well, I know of this family, and they're really going through some difficult times. It was a sad situation there in our community where a grandson had gotten high and had killed his grandmother. And so he said, I'm going to take them a bunch of these hot dogs. They might just need somebody to stop by, and I'm going to bring them a bunch of hot dogs and tell them that we're thinking about them and all this stuff. So he got in the car and took a big cooler of hot dogs there and stuff. And he got there, and when he got to the house, there was a lady on the front porch, and she was screaming into a phone, and she was saying, she's going to kill herself. You got to get here. You got to get here right now and everything else. And so my brother went in the house, and he saw the guy who had killed his grandmother, his mother, sitting there. She had a knife pointed at her chest, and she said, I'm going to kill myself. I can't live with the fact that my son killed my mother, and so I'm going to kill myself. And then my brother was able to talk to her and calm her down, and he finally was able to take the knife away from her. The unexpected. He was expecting to deliver hot dogs, and he got there, and he saved this lady's life because she was going to commit suicide. The unexpected. That's what happens. When he returned to the church, his wife looked at him and said, what in the world took you so long? Because he encountered the unexpected. As we come into God's house, we encounter God. I think we had always better expect the unexpected, expect the presence of God, and expect to be heard as we come toward this house. Let us pray. Most gracious